This is Audible.
A Wish Upon the Stars. Tales from Verania. Written by T.J. Klune. Narrated by Michael Leslie.
Prologue. The Fall of Verania. Once upon a time, in the kingdom of Verania, there was a kick-ass boy born in the slums of the City of Locks. His parents were hardworking, and at times life could be difficult. But they were alive, and had all their teeth, which was very important. One day the boy was chased into an alley by a group of teenage douchebags, only to accidentally turn them all to stone, including, as fate would have it, the love of his life. Only, the boy didn't know about that then. In fact, the boy thought love was kind of gross, because his parents kissed all the time, and it looked rather messy. He didn't want anyone eating his face like that. It was probably for the best the boy didn't know about the one who would be his cornerstone. Things might have gone down a different path. And not necessarily a better one. A man in pointy pink shoes came for him in the alley, telling him he had magic inside him, and that one day he would be a wizard.
"You will do wonderful things,"
the man in the pointy pink shoes said.
"I promise you."
"I'm amazing," the boy breathed. "I knew it." And the man would know, wouldn't he? Because he was Morgan of Shadows, the king's wizard. But even more than that, he had an awesome beard. The boy was taken from the slums, along with his mother and father, and given a life most would only ever dream of. But no matter what happened, what adventures his new and exciting life would lead him on, the boy never forgot where he came from. Sometimes, he still wished upon the stars that others would be as fortunate as him. And he grew. He grew and grew until he was a rather handsome young man. Yes, possibly his nose was a little crooked, and maybe his eyebrows were a little bushy, but hey, it was part of his natural charm. And besides, there were people out there who thought crooked noses and unibrows were dreamy. The fan mail he got every now and then gave any indication. Aww. This nice woman wrote to me that she wants me to come to her house for tea and cake and a mature discussion about how she would like for me to sit on her face so she can lick my... Wow. Okay. That escalated quickly. I did not expect that. Ugh. Yikes. Burn this. Burn this letter now. It could have been a lonely life, given that the boy was taken from the slums into a world he had no clue about. But he didn't have to do it alone. He had his parents, and the king. He had Morgan. And he had more than that, too. After the wizard sent him into the woods to find something unexpected, the boy came back with a hornless gay unicorn, and a half-giant, and was given the name Sam of Wilds. The unicorn and the half-giant became his constant companions. Those who would stand by his side, and have his back whenever he found himself in a precarious situation. Which, to be fair, happened a lot. "Why are you hanging in a net upside down in this tree?" Gary asked him one time, snorting pink and white sparks from his nose. "Why is there an unconscious man below you?" Sam sighed. This whole thing... I don't know, all I was doing was minding my own business, and then this guy came up to me and said he wanted my autograph, and then I said, "Sure, dude, sounds cool." And then he said, "Step over here off the road, away from everyone, because I get shy in front of other people." And then I said, "That seems like a perfectly reasonable request." And so I did, but then he said, "Aha, I have you now. I'm going to hold you for ransom, and you'll get me all the special edition centennial stamps issued by the postmaster last week to honor the anniversary of the Verainian Accord with the Eastern Sea Mermaids." And then I said, "Dude, what are you even talking about? Stamps? This is all about stamps?" And then he said it was all about stamps, which is stupid because who collects stamps? And then he started a monologue about how his father taught him philately, which is apparently the study of stamps, for fuck's sake, and that he wanted to honor his dad by getting the centennial ones. You know how I feel about monologuing. And stamps.
"I do. Oddly enough, I know your position on both those topics quite well."
"Tiggy, no, too. Sam
hate stamps.
You're damn right I do, Sam groused, still hanging upside down in a net in a tree. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that the postmaster laughed at me last month at the state dinner when I asked him to put my face on a stamp because of how spectacular I am. It is completely unrelated.
Of course, kitten. Absolutely unrelated. So, how are you up in the tree?
I have no idea. 1 minute this doofus was talking about his dad and feeling some motherfucking stamps, and the next I was in a net made from vermilion root so I can't use my magic. But I still managed to kick him in the head. And then he fell into the tree. Now here we are.
That pretty much sounds like a summary of your life.
Boom,
Tiki said, and fist hoof-bumped the unicorn.
So lame, Sam muttered.
So the boy from the slums couldn't have had a lonely life, because he was surrounded by people who loved him. Mostly. Prince Justin hadn't seemed to jump on that bandwagon yet, though not for lack of trying on Sam's part. The prince just didn't seem to appreciate Sam's finer qualities. He had friends. He had family. He had Morgan and the king and Pete the guard. And sure, Randall was terrifying and an asshole, but Sam could work with that. He didn't need anything or anyone else.
Who is that?
Sam breathed as he watched a new batch of knights enter the castle.
Oh my gods! Gary screeched. Do you have a boner? Hey! Sam! Why do you have an erection right now?
Everyone turned to look at Sam, including the recruit with blonde hair and green eyes and an ass that looked like it should have pie eaten off it.
Eep,
Sam said. Maybe it wasn't love. Not right away. It was certainly lust, sure. Sam was a teenager, after all, and pretty much anything turned him on.
Why are mashed potatoes making me horny?
Sam muttered under his breath at a dinner for some visiting dignitary. Morgan started choking next to him. Sam helped by patting him on the back, because that was what one did when another choked on mashed potatoes.
So,
no, it wasn't love at first sight, because a teenage Sam of Wilds was ruled by hormones and sex-fueled fantasies of being stuck in a tower with really long hair and having a certain knight use that hair as a rope and climb up his tower and then suck his dick, and then maybe cuddle, or have some cake, or whatever it was people did after fellatio. Sam wasn't too sure on that part. But that didn't stop him from wishing.
But it did grow.
Whatever it was at the beginning became so much more. As Sam grew older, he understood that he had given his heart to a man who didn't even know he existed. Ryan Foxhart, the dreamiest dream to have ever been dreamed. Who then started dating Prince Justin. Because life wasn't fair.
Why are you crying in the dark in your room and eating pudding topped with... Is that bacon? Sam, are you crying in the dark of your room and eating a bowl of pudding with bacon on it?
Look away from me,
Sam wailed through a mouthful of pig meat and vanilla.
I'm hideous, and also my heart has been shattered and I shall never love again.
Oh, boy.
Indeed.
Sam accepted Ryan's disgusting and, frankly, bewildering decision to date the prince like a mature and responsible wizard.
A princess,
Gary coughed.
And also, you spent 4 hours yesterday trying to come up with a spell that would make Justin break out in boils. Sam accepted Ryan's disgusting and, frankly, bewildering decision to date the prince like a mature and responsible wizard.
Besides, he didn't need Ryan Foxhart. He was going to become the world's best wizard, and he was going to pass the trials by the time he was 30, younger than anyone else had ever done it before. He didn't have time for romance. No, sir, not when his grimoire still needed to be bound and completed, and when Gary's horn needed to be located. He had priorities.
But
the heart doesn't listen to the mind. Not always. There are days they move independently of each other. And even though he told himself he needed to move on, his heart still ached at the sight of Ryan and Justin smiling at each other. Like they were so in love that nothing else mattered. And on one such day, when his heart ruled over his mind, he found himself in the dark woods. And in these woods, he found a dead bird, a gash to its back. It's not fair. Magic spilled forth. The bird lived. The earth beneath his feet did not. And he never spoke a word of it to anyone. But fate was a funny thing. Its threads might have seemed flimsy and weak, but there were already so many of them stretching around him, growing stronger and tighter. The boy from the slums didn't know it then, but he was the center of the tapestry, woven by the gods, the threads binding themselves to him, wrapping around his arms and legs and throat, trapping him in a web he could not shake himself from. It was in the way that, while on a date with a man named Todd, who had adorable ears, he stood against a group of dark wizards, a knight at his side, his magic singing out, "Finally! Finally! Finally!" It was in the way a great dragon stood above him, lips pulled back, teeth bared, and complaining about his whiz-bangs and pretty sparkles, before knocking him through a shed and kidnapping the prince. It was in the way the boy and his companions took to the road in the name of adventure to save the Prince of Varenya from the clutches of the evil dragon. It was in the way they slept under the stars, the fire flickering between them, Sam's gaze lingering on Ryan Foxhart. It was in the way the lightning coursed through his heart, on a dusty road next to a field filled with corn. It was in the way the dragon announced to the world his name was Kevin, that he had come from the jungles in the east, looking for a place to call home. It was in the way a boy and his knight stood atop a dragon's keep, the words echoing into the dark as voices broke with a bittersweet ache. "Because it's always been you, Sam. I promise. I promise. I promise. Because when I look upon these stars, there's nothing I wish for more than you." These were the moments bound by fate. And that was just the beginning. Even then, deep in the dark woods, a seal was cracking, shadows leaking out. All it needed was a key. The boy from the slums got his happy ending, didn't he?
Sure.
Ryan had waited until he was literally about to marry someone else, like a douche, a bag, but still. Ryan Foxhart loved Sam of the Wilds, and announced it for all the kingdom to hear. That should have been it. That should have been the end. But the threads were pulling tighter. The furrow came from the desert, with a story of destiny written in the stars, bringing with her a man named Ruve, who she claimed was Sam's true cornerstone. And sure, she bad-touched her grandson to get her point across, but who hasn't had that happen to them? It wasn't as if it meant anything. Neither did Ruve. No matter how bendy he could be or how Sam's magic seemed to pull in his direction, what did mean something, however, were the secrets that had been kept from him. Stories of visions of star dragons, of a doma instructing Morgan of a boy who would be born in the slums, of a knight who would fall and rest upon a stone slab no matter what Sam did, of a brother and a cornerstone who chose a path into the dark against the pleadings of those who loved him most. Morgan's brother, Randall's cornerstone. Didn't help that the will of the people seemed to turn against him.
And yes, Lady Tina da Silva was the worst human being on the planet. And one day Sam was going to curse her, so she turned inside out. But it wasn't all her.
She had merely tapped into an undercurrent of rage that had been long simmering against a mixed-blood boy from the slums who had had everything handed to him. Or so they all thought. The wizard's apprentice and his merry band of misfits fled the city of Lox to the Lurie Desert in the west. They went to the forgotten castle in the sands, and Sam unleashed his powers against villains who tried to take what was his. And then, just because it was the way his life seemed to go, he was chased by a teenage emo snake dragon monster thing named Zero Raven Moonfire, who thought everything was lame, and no one understood the crows in his soul. Or some such nonsense Sam did not have time for. But the snake dragon monster thing eventually agreed to help the boy, only because he wanted a place to grow his forest and to make beautiful things. Sam didn't understand, even then, just how much bigger all of this was, how far the tapestry stretched. He knew of his destiny of dragons, capitalized to make it true, even though he hated it, and he understood the implications of what Mirren could bring, but he was still young. Naive. He was doing this for those closest to him, and nothing more. Under the stars of the desert, he wished to be mortal so that he would never have to leave his beloved's side. But Sam was already caught in the threads, and they were growing stronger, tighter. And he came. Then, for Sam, the man in shadows. Mirren. Lightning struck hard is a funny thing. It beats with strength unexpected. Sam was still just a boy, but his heart was wondrous, even when it ruled over his mind. It was true and brave and wild, crackling with electricity, and Mirren wanted to consume it. He tried, and failed. He had underestimated Sam of Wilds. Still, he left the marks upon the young wizard's skin, wrapping down his chest and stomach like roots from a tree. Lightning scarred and thunderstruck. Things moved quickly after that. Meridian City, Mama, Letnia, Fang, Morgan had contained. Compressed. Castle freeze your ass off. Every secret Sam of Wilds had ever spilled forth to Randall. And in return, Randall of Dragons gave his own. Because Randall loved. He had been loved. And it had nearly destroyed him. He had banished his cornerstone to the realm of shadows, and with it, paths of his heart and soul. He had brought back the King of Sorrows from the depths of madness, an action that almost cost him his sanity. And he had gone to the north then, and for a time had turned dark. But he had come out on the other side, crawling out of the darkness and back into the light. Then came the mated northern dragons, covered in feathers and able to cause dreamwalking. They too had expected the young wizard, had tested him, had pledged themselves to his cause after deeming him worthy. The last dragon, however, had not. The Great White had told Sam this, even before he'd stepped outside the city of Lox. He had rumbled deep in the dark woods, warning Sam of Wilds.
You are not ready.
And as Sam finally stood before him, the Great White said the wizard knew nothing of sacrifice, that a cornerstone was not the be-all end-all. But even then, he made an offer.
Come away with me. child. In this forest deep, in the dark of the wild, wherein these ones, you'll face your fear as time doth stretch toward a year.
The boy from the slums said no. Later, after everything had followed, he wondered what would have changed had he agreed, if he'd gone with the great white then. With a heart that had been shattered like glass, he would think it was his fault, that it all could have been avoided had he left with the great white, had he done what had been asked of him. Fate. Can be a terrible thing. Caleb, the son of the Truth Corn leader.
Lady Tina, the wicked bitch of locks.
Ruve.
Yes. Sam should have seen that one coming.
And when Ruve had taken Ryan's own sword and thrust it into the knight's chest, Sam knew pain unlike anything else he'd ever experienced. And it only got worse from there. Mirren. And Morgan.
Do you remember the day
I came to your house for the first time? You stood in your room with such wide eyes. I loved you, Sam of Wilds, even then. Remember that when the world seems dark. Remember that you have always been loved. You need to run.
Sam had known sacrifice then, hadn't he? He'd known when he stood above the love of his life, the healers flitting around him like little birds, telling him in hushed voices that they'd done all they could, and that it was up to the Knight Commander now. He'd known when he stood above a slab of stone, another love of his life looking pale and peaceful, even though death had taken him across the veil. He'd known then what was required of him, what was expected. So the boy from the slums, the wizard's apprentice known as Sam of Wilds, made the only choice he could. He accepted his destiny. Ryan, you will wake up. I know you will. There's no other choice. And when you do,
I'm not going to be there.
I am sorry for that. You're going to be mad.
I don't blame you. I'd be pissed at you if you were doing this to me. But I think maybe after the anger has faded just a little,
I'd understand.
I'm hoping you can do that for me.
I don't want to leave you. But I think this is bigger than just you or me. It's my destiny.
And I still hate that word. So. So much. Because it's not fair. I never wanted this. I never asked for this, but it was given to me regardless. Morgan's gone. Randall is missing. And if I'm going to have the strength I need to stop Mirren, then I need the Great White. And in order to get him on our side, I need to do what he's asking of me. A year, Ryan. At the most. Hold on, okay? Just hold on. Because one day, and one day soon, I'm going to come back for you. And I will never let you go. I love you. The world's biggest foxy lady. Sam.
The boy from the slums, who had one day wished upon the stars to do something that mattered, went to the Dark Woods. Eventually, he was joined by the Dark Woods fairies, their lights bright and warm in such an unforgiving forest.
Are you sure about this, Sam?
Yes.
And we shall guide you, and stay with you until the end.
And that was a promise kept. Sam of Wilds
was a great many things. He was careless, reckless, inexperienced, clever and smart, though probably too much by half.
But he loved those he cared about. And fiercely so. He would do anything for them. Regardless of whatever else could be said about him, he loved deeply. Which is why he stood in front of the Great White for the third time. This creature who had mentored Randall, who was said to have built the entire world off his back, and agreed to the year, because he loved with his whole heart. The others were there. Kevin, Pat, Leslie, Zero. The dragons of Varania, together at last. And as the Great White's eyes began to glow with a powerful light, the dragons roared around Sam of Wilds, and he felt his magic explode. Eventually, the light faded. The dragons and Sam were gone. The fairies disappeared into the trees, their lights flickering out. Once upon a time, there lived a boy from the slums who had a destiny. One day, he disappeared. In a billowing white room, a night commander named Ryan Foxhart opened his eyes and said, "Sam." Varenya held her breath. And then, the darks descended, pouring out from the trees. Meridian City fell first, then the villages, then the port. The city of Locks was the last stronghold, but eventually it fell too. 6 months after the disappearance of Sam of Wilds, the king was locked away in the dungeons, and the prince had gone underground with a knight, a hornless unicorn, and a half-giant at his side. They kept to the shadows, looking for ways to rise up, to fight back. And Mirren? Well, Mirren sat on the king's throne in Castle Locks. And as Varenya fell before him, he smiled. Part 1. The Dark Woods. Chapter 1. Badass Mother Cracker. But there was hope, wasn't there? Because even when the world seems at its darkest, there's always a light in the distance, a beacon in the night, a quiet strength that would be called upon to...
Okay, Sam. You know I love you, right?
I blinked up at Kevin, who towered above me as we made our way through the dark woods. Yeah, sure, I know that. It's very nice, and I appreciate it quite a bit.
So, don't take this the wrong way.
Wow. Nothing good ever follows someone saying something like that. Don't take this the wrong way, but here are reasons you suck and nobody likes you and you should die a horrible death.
If you want to talk about something to suck, might I suggest my penis?
No, you may not. In fact, that might be the worst suggestion I've ever heard.
Well, then, I don't feel bad about what I'm going to say next.
Remember, I'm fragile, even though I don't look like it.
Don't take this the wrong way.
Showing myself up emotionally.
But you've been narrating yourself in the third person for the last hour, and you have yet to come up with an excuse to not get our asses handed to us when we get back home after ditching everyone for a year. I thought that was the entire point of this. That's what you told me. So, don't take this the wrong way.
Here it comes, I whispered fervently.
But you're not a beacon in the dark. And you are going to get so much shit once we get back to the others, given that Varenya probably wouldn't have fallen had we stayed. And I'm going to blame you for everything.
I winced.
Yep, there it is. The pain. It hurts.
Do you know what Gary's going to do to us?
Kevin asked with a huff. He's never going to stop murdering us, that's for damn sure. Did you know that unicorns can hold grudges for their entire lives? It's a species trait. If you slide a unicorn, it can sit on it for decades before one day, 57 years into the future, you suddenly find yourself trampled to death in what will officially be described as a workplace accident, but will be outright murder. It would be marvelous if it wasn't so terrifying. If I die under mysterious circumstances, you should look at him first.
Yeah.
Kevin sighed.
Isn't he wonderful? It's a good thing I'm planning on telling him that you forced me to come with you.
Hey, I did not. You came after me.
His eyes went wide as his bottom lip trembled.
I don't even know what happened, Gary. One moment I was asleep by your side where I belong, and then the next I've been bewitched by the terrible wizard who made me do things to him that were not entirely consented to, but I rather enjoyed anyway.
I snorted. Oh, please. If I ever chose to do anything to you, you'd give so much consent. Like, all the consent.
Enthusiastically, so.
Kevin agreed.
But you've seen what happens when Gary gets mad. He's going to unicorn rage all over your face. You're going to look like the aftermath of a gangbang at an arts and crafts store. So much rainbow. And glitter.
If you had finished letting me tell my awesome story, you would have heard the way I was going to get us out of being in trouble.
You may continue.
Maybe I don't want to now.
Yeah, you had no plan, did you?
Not even remotely. But I'm sure something would have come to me. But since you interrupted my narrative, we're screwed, and neither of us will get laid. I paused, considering. Or rescue our loved ones and save the kingdom from the clutches of villains. Because I should have said that one first.
Priorities. You have them. Do you think it's as bad as Dimitri said?
I don't know. I guess we'll see soon enough. He tends to be all doom and gloom. That's what happens when you're 6 inches tall. But we've been gone for 11 months. That's a long time.
Yeah. It probably doesn't help that we're...
A shout in the woods ahead.
Get hands off him!
We both froze.
Is it?
Let me, I said.
I closed my eyes and pushed. There was green and gold, and it poured from me, much stronger than it had ever been before. A pulse rolled through the forest as the dark woods responded to it, pulling it outward, rippling through the trees. It was pure and simple, and came without even the barest of thoughts. There they were.
7 blips that echoed back from me. 5 were dark and fetid, boiling with corrupted magic. The other 2 were muted, somehow. I could tell they were there, but it was like an absence of any light. A dark space in the swirling colors of the forest. But whoever they were, there was trouble. I opened my eyes. Kevin's eyes glittered darkly. He'd felt what I had. He was a conduit, after all, able to help me channel my magic, to expand it. It was a gift that had awoken in him in our time away. He magnified everything about me. To the sky, I told him quietly. Tell the others. Wait until I give the command.
On it.
He spread his wings and, with a muscular thrust, lifted off above the trees and into the dark clouds above. I reached up and pulled the hood of my cloak over my head. I bet I look so badass right now, I muttered. All billowing and shit? Fuck yeah. Let's show these mothercrackers how to get their asses kicked.
They were moving quickly through the trees, 5 in pursuit of the other 2. Kevin's words echoed in my head. If we save those being pursued, chances were they'd tell others about their rescuers, and word would get out of my return before I wanted it to. I didn't know what we were going to say when we were finally face to face with those we'd left behind. I didn't want to be covered in rage glitter and rainbows. That was going to suck balls. I moved through the dark woods, sure-footed and quick. The 2 in the lead were beginning to lag, and I didn't have much time before the others caught up with them. I needed to make one hell of an entrance. I found them near a cliff's edge. The 2 being chased were in makeshift armor. They didn't have helmets, but instead wore fabric over their heads and faces, leaving only their eyes visible. One was larger than the other, and he had forced the smaller figure behind him in a protective gesture. He held a sword in one hand, flourishing it defiantly. It was familiar, that practiced flip, and I thought of my knight, but this couldn't be him. It was a slight clumsiness to him that Ryan never had. Soon, though, I'd find him soon enough. And hope that he wouldn't be too angry with me. But there was one I recognized. He stood in front of the other dark wizards, looking as calm as if he were taking an afternoon stroll. He'd been slight when I'd first seen him, hunched over and stuttering about his sickly sister, who loved Havhard and wanted nothing more than to meet us. But as soon as we'd reached the house, the stutter had fallen away, and he began to monologue about his mother and Truthcorn and blah, 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 only putting himself on my shit list with everything that had come after. This was who he was now, a slithering snake. He wore a long coat, the collar flipped up around his neck, like a douchebag. His dark hair was longer, pulled back into a tight ponytail. And he had a smile on his face, teeth flashing. And what made things stranger was the dark magic that coursed around him. He hadn't been a wizard when I'd seen him last. Not that I'd known. It hadn't even seemed like he had a propensity for magic. It looked as if Mirren had been busy. "Well, what do we have here?" Caleb asked, cocking his head at the 2 at the edge of the cliff. He sounded like an asshole, and I wanted to punch his nose off his face. And, with nowhere else to run, I rolled my eyes at the cliched grossness that Caleb had devolved into. I was so going to murder his entire body for being complicit in the death of Morgan of Shadows and the injuries of Ryan Foxhart. "Revenge," I hissed. Caleb jerked his head in my direction. "Fuck," I whispered, lying low to the ground. He couldn't see me, but he watched the tree line for a long minute before turning back toward the people at the cliff's edge. "Tell me, what did you hope to achieve? I'm told you infiltrated my ranks a week ago. What exactly were you looking for?" "Kiss my ass," the one to the rear cried. A woman, younger from the sound of it.
"We're not telling you anything."
"Kotcha," the other one growled. "A man."
"Shut your mouth and let me handle this."
"Yes, Kotcha," Caleb said, slightly mocking. "Let him handle this."
"Let me at him,"
Kotcha snapped, trying to get around the man.
"Let's see how smug he can be when I get my fingernails in his eyes."
"Ooh, I like her." Caleb laughed.
"Amusing little girl, to think you could ever touch me. You know who I am, which means you know what I'm capable of."
He shook his head. "It's a pity, really. You have such balls. I could have used someone like you."
"I would never join you,"
she snarled.
"No, you seem rather firm in that decision."
The man was struggling to hold her back and keep his sword up at the same time.
"Let us go."
"Or what?" Caleb asked. "Something curious."
"Or you'll regret it,"
the girl growled. "And how do you figure that?"
"Kotcha,"
the man said again.
"Don't." "He'll come for us,"
Kotcha said, defiant and angry.
"I know it. Maybe not today, and maybe not tomorrow, but he will, and you'll be sorry."
Caleb blinked. "Him? Who are you?" "Surely you don't mean." He threw his head back and laughed uproariously. The darks at his sides looked bemused, shifting on their feet like they didn't understand what was going on. Kotcha wasn't having any of it.
"Let me go, Pratt! I'm going to stab him in the asshole."
It was weird to have a straight crush on a lady. But
I powered through it. So, you're the resistance. Caleb chuckled, wiping his eyes. Oh my. Today is a good day. Resistance? I mouthed to myself. What were they resisting? The Darks? Dimitri hadn't said anything about... Let me tell you something about him, Caleb said, taking a step forward. Brant forced Katya to take an answering step back, her feet almost to the cliff's edge. You have placed him upon a pedestal that he does not deserve. I would know. He murdered my mother for doing nothing but wanting the truth to be shown to the world. He has abandoned you. He has left you to this life. The man you all think of as your savior is a ghost. Varenya called out for help, and he turned his back on you. Not that I blame him. He murdered my mother for doing nothing, but wanting the truth to be shown to the world. He has abandoned you. He has left you to this life. The man you all think of as your savior is a ghost. Varenya called out for help, and he turned his back on you. Not that I blame him. Caleb shrugged. You people shunned him, and then he left you all behind to suffer. Trust me, he's not coming for you. No one is. No one is.
Sam of Wilds will come back, Katja said defiantly. And when he does, you'll be sorry.
Holy shit. I whispered into the grass. She's talking about me. I need to hug her so bad right now for at least 14 minutes. Sweet molasses. When one stumbles upon people in peril, accosted by repugnant villains, and then hears one's name said in reverence, one tends to get a pretty hardcore power boner. I knew that when I made my entrance it was going to need to be epic, and I would have to have the best catchphrase the world had ever known. I wanted to make my superfans swoon. Sam of Wilds is no more, Caleb said. I tire of you both now. Whatever you've taken will just pick off your corpses. I'm thinking your sword will do just nicely. Jerome, would you please? One of the dark wizards next to Caleb took a step forward. He raised his hands, fingers twitching, mouth moving with words I couldn't hear. His brow furrowed a little as he muttered under his breath. I could feel the sharp ping of his magic gathering, and it was weak and sickly. But Brant's sword still jerked from his hand, causing him to grunt in surprise. The sword flipped toward the darks until Caleb caught it by the hilt.
That was a gift, Brant growled.
Crudely made, Caleb said, hefting its weight a little. But strong. You have materials. Interesting. And unexpected. Your armor shows ingenuity. It certainly fooled the darks for a little while. He glared at Jerome. Jerome said, shifting from foot to foot.
Okay, I can explain.
Please do. Jerome swallowed thickly.
They told us that they were darks, right, and that they were blacksmiths hooking their wares and had designed the armor themselves, and that is what the latest thing in dark fashion.
And you fell for it.
I didn't fall for it,
Jerome said, wiping sweat from his brow.
You put in an order for 4 sets, another dark said. Not that you would know anything about dark fashion, seeing as how you dress like a homeless hooker addicted to mushrooms.
I did not order 4 sets.
I was literally standing right there when you said it.
Another dark groaned.
Oh, here we go again. I thought we'd gotten over you using that word. Why do you insist upon saying it all the time?
God damn it. Not these fucking assholes again. I wanted to make their nipples explode.
I literally don't do that. In fact, I resent the implication that maybe if you had eaten breakfast today, you could have-
You know how I feel about breakfast. Why do you keep trying to change me?
Enough! Caleb snapped.
Eep, eep,
eep.
All the other darks said. Caleb took a step toward Brant and Katya. I am done with this. Your time has come. I thank you for your service. Because in the end, you will be an example for the rest of the Resistance. Morgan of Shadows is gone. Randall is gone. Sam of Wilds is gone. They are nothing but memories of a Varanian past. And soon even that will fade. I promise you.
He'll stop you,
Katja said, still rebellious.
Maybe not with us. Not now. But he'll stop you. Meryn will fail. I know this. I know this because I believe in Samhawild.
My magic sang. I gathered it around me. The greens. The golds. It felt like coming home. Caleb grinned.
Let him come. We'll be waiting.
He raised the sword. Brant turned and pulled Katya against him, shielding her.
Close your eyes,
I heard him murmur, as my blood began to hum just underneath my skin.
We'll cross the veil together. It'll be okay. Just close your eyes.
She trembled. It was about that time that I'd had enough. Because fuck Caleb, right in his fat fucking mouth. I stood up. And said, looks like we've got ourselves a real pretty pickle of a situation here. Don't we? Everyone turned to me.
Gazimit,
I groaned, knowing the hood hid my face. Okay, look, can I try that again? I don't know why I said pickle out of all things. Like, I've been sitting here almost this whole time, and I could have come up with something different. Because pickles are disgusting. Which is strange, because I like cucumbers. Like, why is that a thing? Regardless, I don't know why I used it like that. Pretty pickle, even. Ugh, I'm a little rusty at the whole talking to other people thing, so you'll have to forgive me. Everyone stared at me. All right. Let's try that again. Okay, so you fucktard villains were all like, I'm gonna monologue and say stupid things about stuff. And then Katya and Brant were all like, Samhawild will come save us because he's cool and handsome and everyone thinks so, and I like his hair and his face and the way he waltzes.
I didn't say that, Katya said. Any of that, really?
I'm pretty sure that's what you were implying. And, I mean, it's true, obviously. Samhawild is cool and handsome and has a great face and hair and does a mean waltz. Also, he is a very generous lover.
I wouldn't know anything about that,
Katya said.
I don't know that I'd want to know that. He's a little, I don't know, skinny, for my tastes. I like them thicker.
You like them what?
Brant asked, sounding outraged.
You're 16 years old. You're not allowed to like anyone. Oh, gee, you're right. I don't know why I thought otherwise. I'm so glad I have my big brother here to point out that I am incapable of having my own thoughts. Whatever would I do without you?
Holy fucking sass, master. I breathed. What? Caleb said, frowning. I coughed. Nothing. Nothing. Okay, so we're doing this again. Villains. Blah, 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 blah. Katya and Brant. Samhawild is amazing and wonderful and has super cool knuckles.
Literally none of that happened,
one of the darks said.
It's like you're doing it on purpose,
another dark muttered. And here we are now with Caleb holding a sword up, getting ready to hack innocent people to death. And Caleb, can you hold the sword up again? You're not doing it right. It's really annoying. Who are you?
Caleb asked, eyes narrowed. Your worst nightmare, I said.
Which is not the line I want to use, so hold up the goddamn sword. He raised the sword above Brant and Katya.
Epic,
I said, popping my neck and wiggling the stress from my shoulders. Now we're talking. Okay, Katya, I need you to say what you said again. About the whole believing in Samhawild thing. She frowned at me.
Okay. I believe in Samhawild. Wow.
You didn't sound like you meant that at all.
Oh. Sorry?
You need to sell it. Pretend your life is in mortal peril here. It is, Caleb said. I'm about to stab them. Right. Katya, come on! You're about to get stabbed!
What the hell is this?
Brant asked.
Oh, no!
Katya said, sounding like the world's most terrible actress.
My life is in mortal peril because of the stabbing. I believe in Samhawild.
Better. I'll have some notes on your performance, but we can talk about that later. But as a teaser, you came off wooden and unbelievable. And I wouldn't cast you in any play I'd put on for a summer theater. Caleb, your final threat? I am going to kill them? I squared my shoulders as a gust of wind blew over me, causing my cloak to billow around me.
Oh my fucking gods, I whispered. I look so cool. Come on, Sam. Dazzle them with an awesome catchphrase. I cleared my throat and raised my voice.
Well now, what do we have here? It seems as if we're in a pretty pickle of... God damn it! Enough!
Caleb snarled, and he heaved the sword down toward Brant and Katya. One moment I was standing near the tree line, and the next I was crouched in front of Brant and Katya, forearm raised, the sword smashing into it with a loud... I gritted my teeth against the vibrations down my arm. The Darks took a step back in unison. Caleb stared down at me with wide eyes. I grinned at him, even though he couldn't see it. Hey, hi, how are you? Gauntlet, wouldn't you know. Made of dragon scales. A gift.
How did you get here in front of you in the blink of an eye? Here's a hint.
Magic.
He nodded, drawing in the sword away, squaring his shoulders.
You're going to regret the intrusion, whoever you are.
I stood up slowly. I haven't decided yet.
He squinted at me.
Decided what?
If you're going to walk away from this...
Ooh. Holy shit. I just gave myself chills.
I glanced back at Brant and Katya. Did you guys get chills? Because I did. They both shook their heads, then seemed to change their minds before nodding.
I frowned. Well, this is awkward. Get him, Caleb snarled.
The Darks raised their hands, and their magic began to gather. Wild, none tamed. Lightning crackled from the Darks I'd met long ago on the road, crawling along their fingertips.
I almost laughed at them. Instead, I said, Flora Bora Slam, mother crackers.
I barely had to push.
There was a sharp crack before a hush fell over the cliffside.
Huh, I said. That was easier than I thought it would be. I'm so good at this.
Caleb turned slowly to look behind him. Four stone statues stood there, hands raised, fingers spread wide.
Can't argue with the classics, I told him.
So,
want to surrender, or should we do this the fun way? The sword fell from his hand, sticking upright on the soft earth.
You're good, he said quietly. But unfortunately for you, I'm better. I will deal with you myself.
The fun way, then. I'm down with...
He moved, then.
Almost quicker than I could follow. Hands coming up, twitching dangerously. There was a rush of a magic. A sick and infected yellow. Knocking into my chest and trying to wrap around my heart. I was lifted off my feet and flew up and over Caleb and the stone Darks. Then landed on my back on the other side of them. Katya cried out near the cliff, but I didn't have time to focus on them. Caleb was stronger than I expected him to be. I underestimated him. I wouldn't make that mistake again. I tilted my head back in time to see the statues of the Darks begin to break apart under Caleb's magic. It shouldn't have surprised me as much as it did that he was sacrificing his own men. I'd heard the stories, of course, from Dimitri, about how the Darks had descended upon Varenya, but nothing they had done so far had matched this level of brutality. I had never been turned to stone before, so I didn't know what it felt like.
I almost hoped the stone Darks weren't aware of being broken apart.
I pushed myself up off the ground as the last bits of the statues broke apart and spun lazily around Caleb.
Okay, I can admit, that looks pretty cool. It's kind of hardcore for my taste, though. I mean, those are chunks of people, dude. I could have totally turned them back.
Caleb's eyes narrowed. Do I know you from somewhere? You sound familiar.
We'll get to that in just a moment. First, I need to... Oh, that was a distraction.
Caleb was moving even before I finished speaking. I didn't have time to think, much less come up with a counterspell. The stone slammed into me, starting with my feet and legs, wrapping themselves around me, fusing in place. They rose up my legs, past my knees, to my thighs and hips. They hit my hands and arms, my stomach and chest, and my heart beat thunderously as the stones rose to my shoulders and neck.
No!
Katja whispered behind him. Then,
stop it! Leave him alone!
Brand held her back as she tried to rush Caleb. Any last words before you suffocate to death, buried in rock? Caleb asked me. A twisted smile on his face. Yeah, I said, submerging myself in gold and green. You shouldn't have betrayed me. The skin under Caleb's eyes twitched. And then I detonated. The lightning burst out of my heart, crawling along the tree-like scars on my skin until I was completely electrified. The rock around me began to split and crack until it shattered into so much dust and filtered to the forest floor. I took a step forward. Caleb came after me. I had to hand it to him. His tenacity was truly impressive, especially in the face of such long odds. But I'd spent nearly a year in this forest, deep in the wild. I knew its secrets. The way the trees whispered in the wind, their leaves and limbs rattling together like bones. I knew the ground beneath my feet and the canopy above. I was part of the dark woods now. I felt Caleb's infection hurtle toward me. It was time for a demonstration. He got maybe 3 or 4 steps before I raised my own hands in response. He barely faltered. That was fine. He would see what I was capable of. A branch from a large oak tree whipped down and wrapped around his left arm, jerking him to a halt. His mouth dropped open. Vines burst through the ground beneath his feet, wrapping around his legs, forcing him to his knees. Another tree limb, maple, this time, snaked around his other arm, holding him in place. It was over in seconds. I barely had to move. I breathed with the forest. Caleb struggled against his bindings, glaring up at me. That level of magic is impossible, he snapped. We would know if something like this existed. How are you doing this? Where do you come from? Who are you? Oh my gods. This is going to be so rad. I had to get it just right. I took a step toward him. All interesting questions. I can do this because of what my mentors have taught me. All 3 of them. I come from the dark woods to bring an end to you and yours. And as for who I am, well, that's the best thing of all. I reached up and slid the hood from my head. The exact second he recognized me was probably one of the top 3 moments of my life. I grinned rakishly at him. I'm Sam of Dragons. And just like we'd practiced, the dragons of Arrhenia arrived. First, a serpentine red creature burst through the clouds, landed behind Catchian Bryant, and coiled his body underneath him, wings flapping furiously at his sides. Roar! Zero Raven Moonfire said, which is so freaking lame. I didn't even want to do this. I was in the middle of writing a poem lamenting my black soul, which no one understands. God damn it. 2 blue and white dragons came next, landing on either side of Katja and Brandt, the ground shaking beneath us. Their feathers rattled as they stretched their wings, eyes flashing.
Oh dear. Zero, you know that I told you I would help you with your poetry.
You wanted to write about bunnies.
I do love them. Also, bunny rhymes with funny and sunny and honey. All the things sweet and lovely and—
Can't write about the limitations of my soul with sweet and lovely.
And I told you that poetry was not a sustainable skill, Pat growled. You need to do something that actually contributes to society, like woodworking.
You old dyke,
Leslie said, sounding unbearably fond. God damn it.
Ta-da!
Kevin shouted as he landed behind Caleb.
"'Tis I, the beast from the east, Lord Dragon of the Dark Woods. I have returned to rule over my subjects so that they may cover me in their golden showers.
That's so gross, Zero moaned. Why do you say things like that? Adults are the worst.
I meant their shinies and pretties, little bro. Not their urine. I'm not in the piss play. Sam, tell my little brother I don't like being urinated on. Well, not that I've actually tried it, so I can't say for sure. Never mind, Sam. Don't tell him anything yet. I must further explore my kinks before I can say one way or another.
God damn it. And then he came, like a moon crashing into the earth. He dwarfed everything else. GW, I said.
I told you never to call me that.
The great white rumbled, trees crashing down as he landed upon them.
It's demeaning. And I will not stand for it.
I will not stand for it, I mocked, under my breath.
Caleb's eyes bulged. You guys all suck, I told the dragons of Varania. We practiced this entrance for weeks. The least you could do is all roar in unison so we can salvage this atrocity.
Meow,
Leslie said, lips twitching. I hate you guys so fucking much.
Hey, what about me?
Don't even get me started on.
Dragons.
GW growled.
Roar.
Kevin's eyes shifted black. Leslie's and Pat's turned blue. Zero's burned red. GW's went opaque. And I felt each of them pulsing in my head. They roared then.
Yes! I hissed. Ugh! This is awesome!
As the sound echoed through the forest, I crouched down in front of Caleb. I've dreamed of this moment for almost a year. I told him quietly. For the part you played. You. Me. Face to face. I could use Brant's sword. Push it through your chest. Make you feel every inch of it. And maybe I will. Someday. But first I need you to deliver a message. Can you do that? He nodded slowly. Good. Here it is. I have returned, and I will take Varenya back for its people. You tell Mirren, you tell him that I will come for him. That I will come for all of you. I have accepted my destiny. Much like he has accepted his. These paths were on, even if they were set in stone. He would do well to remember that stone crumbles. He is taken from me, and I am to take everything from him. Now go, before I change my mind. I arched an eyebrow, and the tree limbs and roots unfurled from his body. He scrambled to his feet, taking a step back, bumping into Kevin's leg. Kevin craned his neck down until he was face-to-face with Caleb, spikes on the back of his neck rattling.
Are you sure I can't eat him?
Kevin growled.
Like mother, like son.
Caleb's face paled. Wow.
That was hardcore. I approve of what you said, not the eating thing.
But someday.
Possibly. Maybe I'll help too.
Oh, cannibalism. I can dig it. You hear that, traitor? My boy is gonna eat your toes.
Caleb took off running into the woods. That went well, I announced as soon as his footsteps had fallen away. I do have some notes, as I indicated previously. Dragons, you all suck. It's like you remembered absolutely nothing about what we practiced. I'm embarrassed by all of you. I'm giving every consideration to firing all of you. They all began to protest immediately. Well, all except for GW. He looked like he wished we had all never existed. Yeah, yeah, I said, waving their complaints away. Maybe if you had learned your lines. And Katya, I turned toward the people standing behind me. Both had removed their masks, and I could see the resemblance now. They had fiery red hair, brands cut short, and Katya pulled back into a loose ponytail. Their faces were an explosion of endearing freckles. And both were extraordinarily pale, eyes wide, as if they'd seen a ghost. Which was ridiculous, of course, because ghosts didn't exist. Have you ever thought about being an actress? She shook her head slowly. Good, because you were terrible. My gods, woman,
Your calling isn't in the theater. Let me tell-
Ugh!
She launched herself at me, wrapping her arms tightly around my neck, her makeshift armor digging into my chest. Oh, man. I love hugging. Lady dude, you were on my epic list, aside from the acting thing. And so I hugged her back, because that was what one did.
You're here, she whispered. You're real. And you're here.
This is true. Agreed. Absurdly touched by this girl I'd never met. It was strange. Hugging another person again after so long. Dragons weren't as cuddly as one might think, no matter how much Kevin tried. I'm real. She pulled back carefully, searching my face.
They're not going to believe this back at Camp Halfheart.
I'm sure they won't. Wait. Back at where? Her smile was wide and beautiful.
The base camp for the Resistance. Led by Knight Commander Ryan Foxhart, Grand Prince Justin of Varenya, and their second-in-command, Lady Tina da Silva of the Foxy Lady Brigade.
I was pretty sure my brain broke. Chapter 2. The Lament of Sam of Dragons. Goddamn Dimitri. I muttered as we made our way through the dark woods. Goddamn Dimitri, and is not telling me about resistances, or Halfheart camps, or Foxy Lady Brigades. And goddamn him straight to the underworld for saying nothing about Lady Tina da Silva. I will have her head on my...
What is he growling about?
Kutcher whispered to Kevin.
I don't care.
Kevin whispered back.
I've been here as angst for the past 11 months. I'm sort of over it. I'm actually not even listening to him right now. Your brother is hot.
Brant blushed furiously as Katya groaned. Root. And also, do you need to be reminded of what I've had to listen to for the past 11 months? You are the reason GW made me put on this sexual harassment seminar.
I am sexually adventurous.
Aggressive.
And it's not my fault. You are the only thing within any distance that I could try and get up on. We were with a child, 2 lesbians, and an old fart. What else was I supposed to do? Since you forced me to go with you.
That is not what happened.
Sam bewitched me to follow him into the forest.
Kevin told Katya and Brant.
I wanted to stay with my horde and my unicorn. But no! Sam had made me leave with him to the land of celibacy. Do you know how backed up I am right now? I could probably impregnate a rock.
Oh my goodness,
Katya breathed.
That was more information than I required.
You better not impregnate my sister.
Brand said seriously, hand on a sword.
Or me.
Kevin's lip curled in disgust.
Don't be crude. I will never. There is only one creature worthy of carrying my children. And his name is Gary.
Gary can't carry your children, I reminded him, feeling ill that such words were even coming out of my mouth. You're both dudes. He doesn't have a uterus.
Since you're such an expert at Gary's insides and all, I told you, Pretty, all you had to do was ask, and we'd include you in our-
No. I'm gonna stop you right there. You are terrible, and we have other things to focus on, such as Lady Tina da Silva and how we're going to eviscerate her.
How do you shout at this, the Sam of Wilds?
Brant asked his sister.
Because I thought he'd be more... Not this.
I'm completely sure,
Katya said. She glanced at me.
Okay, a little sure.
Hey, I'm not Sam of Wilds anymore. I'm a full-fledged wizard now. Sam of Dragons, for the win.
They grow up so fast.